I would not have been true to my mission had I claimed that I was the only son of God, for it is not true, and men should not so teach it. Yes, I know it was said that my mother was told of the object of my birth and what a blessed woman she was, but this is not true. My mother, as 131, she has told me, had no reason to suppose that I was different from other children born of men. The story of the angel of God coming to her and telling her that she must submit to the birth of a child who would be begotten by God or by His Holy Spirit, and that she, as a virgin, should bear and give birth to that child, is not true, for she never in all her life told me that she had any such visitor, and I know that she would be as much surprised, as are many men, that such a thing as the birth of a child by a virgin could take place. So you see the Bible account of my being begotten and all the attending circumstances are not true. My father, Joseph, never supposed at any time that I was not his child, and the story of the angel coming to him and telling him that he must not put her away because of appearance is not true, because he never in all my conversations with him, intimated that I was other than his own child. Between the time that I was 12 years of age and my public ministry, I lived at home with my parents, and assisted my father in his business of carpenter, and during all this time no hint ever fell from him that I was not his child, or that I was different from other children, except that I did not do sinful things. When I commenced to get this divine love into my soul, I became very close to the Father, and this relationship resulted in my realizing that I was sent by God with a mission to perform and a great and important truth to declare, and, at last the voice in my soul told me that I was my Father's true son and I believed it, and commenced to teach and preach the truths of His love bestowed and the salvation of men. I knew John the Baptist when I was a child growing up. He was my cousin and we often played together, and afterwards discussed the truth of my mission and the way in which it should be made known to the world. John was a great psychic and saw in his vision who I was and what my mission on earth was, and, hence, when the time came, he made the announcement of my coming. He realized the difference in our missions, and spoke of his not being worthy to unloosen my shoes. But, yet, he did not fully understand my mission and the great truth of the bestowal of immortality upon man by the Father. I first became the Christ when I was anointed by my Father, and that occurred at the time of my baptism by John. I as Christ am different from myself as Jesus. Christ means that principle which the Father has conferred upon me, which made me, the Paget Messages 19:15, at one with Him in the possession of this great love. Christ is that love itself made manifest in me as man. This Christ principle is universal and is everywhere, just as is the Holy Spirit, but I am limited in my place of occupancy just as you are. I never as Jesus merely, promised the great gift, mentioned in the Bible, such as, where two or three are gathered together there will I be also, for it would be impossible for me to be in all places at the same time. But Christ, being without form or limitation, is omnipresent and, consequently, may fulfill my promise in this regard. Christ is as much alive today as ever. He was never crucified and never died as did Jesus. Well, I think you are too sleepy now to continue, well because you need sleep. I know of no special influence being exerted over you to produce sleep. I will continue in the near future. Your brother and friend, Jesus. Well, sweetheart, you are too sleepy to write, as you had better go to bed and get a good night's sleep. The Master was not at all offended, for he understood that you could not keep awake sufficient to write. He will finish the next time and you will be interested in the discourse. With all my love I will say good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. June 8, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I will continue my letter as to my birth and work, as I commenced it last night. When I was satisfied that I was chosen by my Father to perform His work of declaring to the world the bestowal of His great gift of the divine love that was in His nature, and which formed the predominant principle of that nature, I commenced my ministry, and continued to work for the redemption of mankind, on earth, until my death on the cross. I was not then as perfect as I am now, and my knowledge of the truths of the Father was not as great as it is now. Let men know though, that what I taught was true, even though I did not teach all the truth, and they will learn that I am my Father's true son, and the special messenger by whom these great truths was to be taught to mankind. I was not, when on earth, so filled with the love of the Father as I am now, and had not the power to make men feel that this love is the only thing that will reconcile them to the Father and 132, make them at one with Him, as I have now. So men must believe that I am communicating to them the real truths which will show them the way to the Father's love and to their own salvation. You have in your mind the desire to know how it was that the wise men came to me with their offerings and adoration, if I was not specially created by God to become His son and representative on earth. Well, the wise men came, but their coming was not because of any knowledge they had that I was a child divinely created, or that I was not a natural child, but because they were astrologers and at the time saw a new and brilliant star in the heavens, and which to them meant that some important event had taken place, and, being students of the Old Testament, wherein such a star was referred to as the forerunner of the birth of a Savior, they concluded that that star was the one intended, and that my birth being a lowly one, as they expected was the one that the Scriptures meant, and, consequently, that I was the Christ spoken of. But outside of this knowledge as astrologers and that of the Scriptures, they had no knowledge that I was the Christ to be born, and when it is asserted that they had any information from God or His angels that I was the Christ, that assertion is not true. I know this, because since my coming to the spirit world, I have met these men and talked with them, and they have told me what I write. So, while I was the Christ referred to in the Bible, I mean in the prophecies of the Old Testament, yet, those wise men had no other knowledge of that fact than what I have told you. I know that I was sent by the Father to perform the mission which I performed, and that it was intended in the beginning that I should be anointed as the Christ, but this I did not know until after I became a man and was then told what my mission was by the angel and my own inner voice. My mother or father or brethren did not know, and even after I had proclaimed my mission and showed the wonderful powers that had been given to me, they did not believe in my mission, but thought that I was besides myself, that is, as you say, crazy with the belief that I was the chosen one of my Father. The Bible, itself, shows that this was their condition of mind. So, while I am the Christ of the Bible, and the chosen instrument of the Father to make known the great truths which I have proclaimed, and which I shall proclaim through you, yet I am not the only begotten Son of God in the sense in which it is usually accepted. And much less am I God. As, the Paget Messages 1915, I have said, there is only one God, and I am merely His Son and Teacher sent to the world to declare to mankind the bestowal of the gift of immortality and the way in which men may obtain it. I will deal further with myself as we progress in our writings. Let no man believe that I was born of the Virgin Mary, or that I was begotten by the Holy Spirit, or that I am God, for all these things are not true. For the present I will stop, and with all my love and blessings of the Father, will say good night. Your friend and brother, Jesus. I am here, your old professor. I am very happy and want to tell you that you are in much better condition to write than you have been since I commenced to write to you. I am so glad of it, for it indicates improvement in your physical as well as your mental condition. I was much interested in the last message of the Master, because it sets forth facts which are not in accord with the Bible story, and with what I had been led to believe. Of course, He knows what the truth is, and when He tells us anything, we never, for one moment, doubt Him, and neither must you. And when you come to analyze and consider the statements made by Him, you will find them more in accord with reason than the story contained in the Bible. In His statements there is nothing miraculous, or that calls for a belief that is beyond the reason to conceive of. Everything is so natural and in accord with the workings of nature, as has been observed in the case of the birth of every other human being. His statement as to how and when there came to Him the knowledge that He was the chosen one of God to bring to earth the glad tidings of the restoration of immortality and the divine love of the Father waiting for all mankind, is, I believe, very new and will be surprising to most men. But how reasonable this is! Had He known from the time of His birth that He was the Christ, which had been promised to the Jews, is it possible that during all the 30 years in which He remained in obscurity, he would not have made his mission known and commenced the work of proclaiming to mankind the glad tidings which he afterwards proclaimed. It seems wholly incredible that he would not have done so. The years from 25 to 30 are very important years in the life of a man, and many great things have been accomplished by mere man 133, during that period of life. And it is not reasonable that one who had the knowledge from his infancy that he was the special messenger of God, clothed with all the powers and knowledge of the truth, which Jesus displayed after he commenced his public ministry, would have remained in seclusion during the years that I have named, and not given the world the benefit of these great possessions. No, to me, his story is one in consonance with reason, and I must believe it. At any rate, the fact that he says it is true is sufficient. Well, I had hoped to resume my discourse on the laws of the spirit world before now, but your time has been so occupied that I could not intrude upon you. But very soon, if agreeable to you, we will continue. With all my love, I will say good night. Your old professor and teacher, Joseph H. Salyards. I am here. Bright star. Yes, I did. Let me tell you that I am with you tonight for the purpose of helping you get out of your despondency. You must not be so downhearted. You are too lonely to be left alone. Go to the Lord for help. I am not the only one here. Your wife and father and mother and grandmother and Christ and Professor Salyards are here. I know him very well. He is your friend and my friend. He is not the only one that you will hear from tonight. Come to the Savior's love and you will be helped. Question: are you Bright Star? Yes, I am, and you must believe that I am. Yes, very often I come to help you and try to let you know that you are not to be left to your own ways of thinking. Shall I go to Mrs. R. B.? Yes, you must come soon and I will talk to you, and you will know that I am the Indian squaw that you spoke to when you were present on the two occasions that you visited the medium. Question: who wrote Saturday Night? You were written to by your father and mother and grandmother and your wife, also Jesus. Yes, he will, if you will call for him. He will teach you the truths of the Bible and of his own knowledge. He is the greatest of all teachers. He is a lovely spirit and loves you and all mankind. Be a true follower of his teachings and you will become a very spiritual man. He is the only one for you to follow. Yes, I do. And he teaches me and all us who have the love of God in our hearts. Question: are you Indians in the earth plane? I am in the fourth sphere. We are only in the earth plane too. The Paget messages 1915, help you mortals. Our home is not here, but higher up. Question: are visits to Mrs. R. especially beneficial? No. It is not, but you may be helped some by learning that your friends are not dead, but living. Question: did the spirits actually speak to me at the seance? Yes. They all spoke to you and you cannot help but believe that they did. Question: what was the meaning of the light? It was merely the power of the spirit manifested. No, it did not mean anything in particular. It was merely an evidence of the presence of spiritual power. Yes, your wife is the one provided for you. Question: do you know Mr. Kilburn? Yes, I do. He is a very good man and is gifted with the power of clairvoyance and having taps come to him. He is not a very strong medium, but is going to become such in the near future. You will be able to help him develop as a medium in the way of writing with the planchette. You are too spiritual to be long without the power of seeing the truth of the Lord's ways. Yes, but not in as great a degree as you will soon have. You are very near the kingdom. Keep trying for the light and you will soon get it, and then you will be able to help mankind in a spiritual and a physical way. Be only true to yourself and God. Question: did not the people at the seance think of her only in a material way? Yes, that is the way that they thought of me, but I am more than that. I have a spiritual side to my being as well as the side that they know of. You, however, can see the spiritual side, for you are spiritually minded and not satisfied with mere phenomena, and with you I like to talk of spiritual things. Let me go now. Good night, Bright Star. June 15, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I want to tell you tonight that you are much better in your spiritual condition, and I desire to write a message, and have you take it, if you feel that you are in condition. Well, I desire to write on the subject of why men should believe that I, who write to you, am the true Jesus of the Bible, and why I write to you. When I lived on earth, men did not believe that I was a god, or that I was anything more than a teacher of God's truths, possessed of wonderful powers, not then so well understood as they are now, since men have comprehended to a limited extent the possibility of the spirit forms operating through the material world, that is, the spirits of men and the mortals of the other, have the power 134, to communicate with one another, and that the powers possessed by the spirits, which are almost unlimited, may to a certain extent be conferred upon and exercised by men. This intercommunication and possession of powers and the conferring thereof on men, was not so well understood when I was on earth, as they are now. I, by reason of my soul development and my knowledge of spiritual things, was able to exercise these powers to an extent that made the people of my time suppose that I was the only Son of God, possessed of many of his powers and attributes, and as a matter of fact I was possessed of these powers and attributes. But I was only a mortal when on earth and only a spirit after I passed from the earth to the spiritual life. Of course, my development of the soul qualities was such as to enable me to do many things on earth which no other mortal could do, and after I became a spirit to obtain a position in the spirit world that no other spirit had obtained. Yet I am only a spirit, a highly developed one, possessing more knowledge of God's truths and having more soul development than any other spirit. If I were God or a part of God, I would be something more than the mere spirit that I am, and my position would be such that I could not or would not communicate with you in the manner that I do. But I am only a spirit, having the same form and means of communicating with the mortals of earth that other spirits have, only to a greater degree. I am not doing that which should be surprising to mankind. My home, of course, is in a sphere far above that of the earth sphere, and my condition of development is far greater than that of any other spirit, and I am not of the earth in any particular, yet my powers are correspondingly great and my ability to communicate is in accordance with my powers and knowledge. If I were God, I would not resort to the means of communication that I do now, and it would not be surprising that men would not believe that I would so communicate. But as I said, not being God, there is no reason that I should not communicate through you or any other qualified medium the great truths of my Father and the plan provided by him for man's salvation. So men should not think that because I am the Jesus of the Bible, and have for so many years been accepted and worshipped by so large a part of the human race as God, or rather a part of him, that, therefore, it must not he believe that I, as a spirit, have not the qualifications and powers of other, the Paget Messages 1915, spirits, and because I do so communicate, that I do that which, as God, I should not do. Well, I must not write more, as you are not just in condition. But I will finish the next time you write, as I very much want men to understand my position with reference to them and to the spirit world. I am not so much in rapport with you tonight as usual, and you are not in condition to take my meaning. We will try again, soon. I want you to pray more to the Father and have more faith. I will come again soon. I will say good night. Your friend and brother, Jesus. I am here, Helen. Well, sweetheart, the master was disappointed that he could not finish his message, and he seemed to be very anxious to write tonight. Of course, you could not help the disappointment, but he is so very anxious to continue these messages. I know that you were perfectly willing that he should write, and tried your best to take the messages, but somehow your condition was not just right. Well, you will have the opportunity again soon. No, it was the master, he was writing and no one else. You will not be imposed upon by anyone claiming to be him, we will not permit such a thing, and you must not doubt. I want to tell you that you are very much improved in your spiritual condition, and you must pray more and have more faith. We are trying to help you in every way, so pray to the Father and you will soon realize the results of your prayers. As you must not write more tonight, I will stop. But I must tell you that I love you with all my heart and soul. Well, sweetheart, good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. June 17, 1915. I am here, Joe Shellington. Well, I am glad to be able to write to you, and let you know that I am in the land of the living. I have waited a long time to write to you, but, as your band would not consent to my writing, I had to wait until it was agreeable to them, as well as to you. I am in a state of semi-darkness and am suffering somewhat from the recollections of my life on Earth, but thanks to your wife, I am commencing to see the light and to learn the way out of my sufferings. 135. When I found myself dying, I thought that I was going to sleep and that my body was resting from the cares and pains which my sufferings had caused, and when my spirit was separated from my body, I hovered around for a long time expecting that when my body should feel refreshed I would go into it again and continue my life on earth. But after waiting a long time and failing to see my body awaken, I commenced to wonder what had taken place, and, at last, came to the conclusion that I was a dead one, and that no more would I walk on earth as a mortal. Well, as soon as I realized that fact I looked around and saw my mother and father, and several others that I knew on earth, and they told me that I had died, and was then a spirit, and would never more go into my body. And I commenced to ask questions, and wanted to know where I was and what place I was in. They told me that I was in the spirit world, and in what is called the earth plane, and that my future home would be in that plane until I had by repentance and suffering, progressed to a higher one. My mother, who is a very beautiful spirit, tried to comfort me, and told me that I must now think of the things that belong to the spirit world, and not let my thoughts run on the things that I had been interested in while immortal. But while I considered her advice and was impressed with what she said, yet I could not follow her advice, as I was compelled by something which I did not understand to give my thoughts to the affairs of earth, and especially to my wife and daughter. I was with them nearly all the time for many long days, and tried to speak to them and advise them what they should do, but they would not pay any attention to me. Of course, I know now that they did not know that I was present and did not hear my voice, but at the time I thought it very strange, for they were just as real and unchanged to me as when I was with them in the body. I never fully realized what my position was until long months after I died, and I could not think of anything but them at first, and was with them all the time. I saw them sorrowing and weeping because of my death and tried so hard to comfort them, but all to no purpose. I, at last, saw that it was utterly hopeless for me to make them feel that I was with them, and so I sought for light or information among my spirit friends, and sought from them to know how I could reach my dear ones, but I could get no consolation, as they told me that it was only through the instrumentality or help of some earth medium could I ever be able to, the Paget Messages 1915, communicate with them or let them know that I was still alive, and loved them just as I did when on earth. So one time, in my wanderings I entered the circle of the medium where you heard me talk to you, and then I was happy because I thought that now I would be able to reach my wife and daughter. But I was disappointed, for you never told them that I had talked to you, and wanted them to know that I was anxious to talk to them. I suppose you thought that they would not believe, and so neglected to tell them. But you were mistaken in this, as they would have believed you had you told them. My wife knows something of spiritualism, though she has not much faith in it, and while she may not absolutely have believed, yet she would have had interest enough in it to have sought for the opportunity to learn more, and if possible to hear me speak to her. So while you disappointed me, yet I cannot altogether blame you. But, old friend, do not fail to let her know that I have written to you tonight, and if not too much trouble, I would like for you to send her a copy of this message. I still love her and am with her very often, and try my best to make her feel my presence, and realize that I am doing my best to comfort her. If she only knew how dear she is to me and that my whole heart burns with love for her, she would be happier, for I believe that she will be mine when she comes over, and through all eternity. So do not fail to send her a copy of this message. When I passed over I was not one particle afraid, and while I was not just in condition to know what was taking place, yet there was no dread or apprehension of my being in any way harmed. I arose, as I have said, from my body, but did not leave it, and stayed with it and with my loved ones even until it was buried, and then continued with my dear wife. After I realized that I was a spirit, I found myself in a dark atmosphere surrounded by dark spirits who, I supposed, were like myself. My mother, while she often came to me, did not live with me, but, as she told me, in a higher sphere where much happiness exists. I was not happy and I suffered very much from my recollections of my earth life, and had no fixed home. All spirits in a condition like mine have to roam about with no place that they can call home. Often have I longed for a home but found none, and even now I have one that is not very beautiful, but I am progressing and light is coming. 136, to me and my sufferings are decreasing. I rather expected to find myself in hell, as I was not a Christian, and as I was taught that all who are not Christians and believe in Jesus must go to hell. But I have not seen that hell, and I do not believe that there is any such place. Yet the suffering which we all have creates a hell enough for any spirit who wants such a hell. Well, I am now learning to pray to God and to believe in His love, and the more I pray and the stronger my belief becomes, the more light I see and the less I suffer. Your wife came to me at about the time I spoke to you at the mediums, and tried to help me, and she has been with me many times since, and has helped me very much. She is a beautiful spirit and seems filled with the love of God, as she says. So I am seeking that love, and I believe that I will soon get enough of it to get out of my present condition. I thank you so much for this opportunity, and when it is agreeable I will come and write to you again. I will not take up more of your time tonight. So with my kindest regards and many thanks, I am your old friend, Joe Shellington. I am here, Helen. Well, sweetheart, you had quite a long letter from Joe Shellington and I am glad that you let him write, for it seemed to help him so much. He is now progressing and praying to the Father, and has some faith. As he said, I have been trying to help him, and he listens to me with much interest. Soon, I believe, he will see the light and get out of his darkness. Do as he requests. Send a copy of the letter to his wife, for I believe it will do her good, as well as him. She is not so much in love with him now, but yet she will feel better by knowing that he loves her and is alive. I don't know, as I have not inquired, but I will in order to let you know. But it is not best that either of them should know at this time. Well, I will not write very much tonight, as you have written enough. I must tell you, though, that I love you with all my heart and soul, and I am so glad that you do me. I was with you and saw your condition of mind and know just how you felt. The worship was all of Jesus, and he says that is not right. But, nevertheless, while these people speak of Jesus as God, yet in their hearts they worship God, and you must not feel that they are sinning very much in calling Jesus' name so much. They speak of Christ, the Paget Messages 19:15, and if they only knew the true meaning of that name their worship would be all right. But they fail to know the difference between Jesus and Christ and hence make the mistake of worshipping Jesus Christ, meaning Jesus. But their hearts have the love of the Father and they will be benefited by such love even though they look upon Jesus as God. He knows just what they mean, and while he does not like to be worshipped, yet he sees that their longing is for God. I must now stop, and will only say that you have much love in your soul tonight. So with all my love I will say good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. June 20, 1915. I am here, Thomas Paine. When I died, I did not believe in Jesus as the Son of God or as his messenger sent to show the world that the Father had bestowed upon it his divine love and immortality and the way to obtain it. But now I believe to the fullest these truths and am a follower of Jesus and the possessor of the divine love. How different would my condition now be if that erroneous and damning doctrine taught by the churches, that there is no redemption beyond the grave, were true. I never thought that there was any necessity for redemption, either while on earth or after I should become a spirit, but thought that if there was a God, he would deal justly with me and bestow upon me happiness and enjoyment of the future life according to my idea of his love and mercy. But I must tell you that I was mistaken in some particulars. God is love and he is merciful, but his love and mercy are exercised only in accordance with his fixed and unchangeable laws, laws that apply impartially to all men, and which in their operation make no exceptions. What a man sows, so shall he reap is as true as that the sun shines for you on earth. I found the truth of this great law in my own experience and I paid the penalties of my sins. Jesus could not do this for me and he never pretended that he could. but he could and does show the way by which the operations of the laws which produce these penalties may be superseded by the operation of other laws which, as it were, removes the penalties from the individual spirit.